Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction. Let us pray, let
us pray. It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your host, Monica Lovell. Miss Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is one of my new favorites, y'all, Miss Renee Kielhofer. How are you doing this morning, beautiful lady?
Good morning. I'm great. I'm great.
Right on. I'm blessed and highly flavored with favor. Thank you.
I love it.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is PVM Ministries, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all this morning. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Father, we give you this time that our minds would be clear and our hearts would be open to hear from you. And we just ask for your anointing on the words that are spoken and on the hearts to receive. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Let me pick my toes up first.
Yeah, me too.
Addicted to busy.
Addicted to busy. That has hit me in the face for weeks. And I thought, all week I've thought, okay, what am I going to talk about on the Hour of Power? And I had like so many other things that cropped up, but I'm doing a devotional that I finished today called 30 Days to Revive. And so I was on day 30 today, and day 30 was pause was the title. And I thought, okay, I'm supposed to talk about this today. So I went back this morning and scratched some notes through some of the things that God's been dealing with me about over the last few weeks. I thought maybe it'll hit home for somebody else. Because the thing is, so many of us are just defined by busyness. And it's just, a lot of times it's not even important things. It's just busy. Excuse me, let me silence my watch. I hate that. But you know, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to be busy. He doesn't want us to stop and take time for God. Just like just now, my phone goes off in the middle of us talking about being busy, and it's spam. It's not even important. You know, it's like, there's how much of our life is filled with spam every day. You know, it's, we feel like if we're not busy, if we're not productive, then our life doesn't count. Or worse yet, I think subconsciously there are people that think, I'm worthless. I don't count because I'm not being productive, and I'm not busy. I'm not like making this world-changing difference every day. That's what we believe in our minds. But that's the farthest thing from the truth, especially if we love the Lord. So who are we trying to impress sometimes? And I think sometimes we're trying to impress ourselves more than anybody else, because the truth is everybody else around us is probably as busy as we are, and they're not paying attention to what we're doing anyway, and they don't care. So it's really all about, you know, we get wrapped up in ourselves and what we think we have to do to feel good about ourselves. And I know I'm a very kind of OCD person, especially like around the house and like in my office and stuff. Everything has a place. It's always in its place. And Renee cannot function unless it is there. You know, it's, so I'm learning that the world is not going to come to a screeching halt if my bed is not made. And I that seems like there. I know there are a lot of people listening that are going, I don't care if my bed's not made. Maybe you don't care if your bed's not made, but you're letting that go because there is something that you care about in that moment that may be just as frivolous. And so I have learned over the last couple of months that if my bed is not made when I leave for work in the morning, it's okay. And I can really work all day long and not worry about my bed not being made. And I know that sounds silly, but I know there are some people out there listening that can relate to what I'm saying. In the back of my mind all day long, that bed's not made. So what's the first thing I do when I walk through the door at 5:30? Make that bed, even though we're getting back in it in a few hours, you know. So I hope I'm saying this to release some people of some of those things, because the truth is, if my bed's not made all day, nobody's home. Nobody cares. My husband's not going to come in from the door after a long day's work and go, "You didn't make the bed this morning." He doesn't care. You know, all he cares is that it's ready for him when he wants to get in it. You know, he's going straight to the recliner. And so I've learned to let that go. And I know this sounds silly, but in a big way, that has freed me with some things. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't take care of your house and don't do all those kinds of things, because we do need to be a good steward of the things that God gives us, but we need to make sure that our things don't become our idol and take all our time away from the one who gave us those things in the first place. And I think a lot of us get caught up in that. And Satan wants us to be busy. He wants every second of our lives to be consumed with something. Because if our lives are that busy, then we can't slow down to hear the voice of God. And 1 Peter 3:4 says that what really matters is our inner disposition, is cultivating that gentle, calm spirit. That's what matters to God, and that's what pleases God. It's kind of like, you know, we all know that a regular heartbeat rhythm is critical to our physical life, you know, to just breathing and maintaining good health and living every day. But our soul requires a regular rhythm as well. And it needs to be just as on point as that physical heartbeat, because that spiritual rhythm is just as crucial even to our physical health and well-being as our physical beating heart. And so that's kind of where I'm at this morning, learning to do that. And it's funny, because God's been dealing with me about that. And yet this morning I'm getting up early because I got to get ready to get here. And then I got to get to work early because I've got to get some things done before I go to Hour of Power. And I get to work early and I don't have my key. I can't get in the office. No one else is there. And so I'm forced to just sit in my car for a few minutes and just let God do and say whatever he wants to for a little bit. You know, just take a deep breath and go, okay, God, instead of getting upset about this, I'm just going to let you refresh me for a little bit. And it was only like 10 minutes because that's as early as I got around, because I wasn't paying attention and I stayed in my studies too long. But just even that few minutes, it would be natural to just go, oh my gosh, I just lost this extra few minutes that I was trying to allow this morning. So what am I going to do? I'm never going to get this done because I've got Hour of Power. I've got a funeral dinner. I've got a funeral to go to. I've got all this stuff happening today. But the truth is, when the funeral's over, I can go back later and spend a few minutes and wrap up those details and tomorrow morning when the day starts, I'll be fine. The world is not going to come to a screeching halt. You know, I've tried to learn to ask myself this question, is whatever the situation is going on at this moment that's causing me so much anxiety, is this really going to alter the course of my life from this moment on? 99.9% of the time, the answer to that question is no. So let it go. Don't let it alter this moment of my life, because maybe there's something else God wants to do in this moment. And so that's kind of where I'm at this morning, and kind of the things I'm thinking about. I think that busyness, Satan wants that in our lives because it decreases or increases, actually, our disconnect with our Savior. And anything he can do to keep us from connecting with God, he's going to do. And when we're disconnected from God, we can't hear that quiet whisper of God's heartbeat that's meant to calm our spirit and guide our way. And ultimately, it's his guidance, his wisdom. That's what we need to experience on a daily basis to be able to live in his presence and his fullness and accomplish his will for today. You know, it may not be God's will for my bed to be made today. That may not be on his list of priorities for Renee Kilhofer today, but it may be on his list for me to get wherever I'm going at X amount of time, because he knows he's got someone there that he wants me to connect with today, and they're either going to have a word for me or I'm going to have a word for them. And so if we can learn to say, God, what's your appointment for me today? This is what I have on my plate, so I'm going to move forward with this, but I'm going to be quiet enough that if you want to stop it, I can hear you say, no, go in a different direction. And I think that's part of being adaptable to the will of God on a daily basis. You know, we kind of think that the will of God is like this big grand scheme for our lives. You know, I remember growing up in the church and growing up in the youth group, and they would really talk to you about the will of God for your life, you know, and especially when you got into high school and you were fixing to start making these lifelong decisions, you know, you really needed to be in prayer about it, and you really needed to be focused on whatever the will of God was for your life. It was like this one magical plan, and you're expected to discover that at 17. You know? It's like, for most of us, that doesn't happen. But what I have discovered over all these years that are way past now, way past 17 years old, is that God's will, first of all, ultimately, God's will for his children is that we serve him, we love him, we love other people, and in doing so, we take as many people to heaven with us as possible. That's his ultimate will for the life of every believer. And secondly, we accomplish that in a situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance decision that we make, that I'm going to do this moment God's way. So it's the little pieces that all come together in the end that make the glorious picture of God's will for your life. And I think for most of us, we won't even see that until we're on the other side. We're looking back and seeing how the paintbrush in God's hand just orchestrated this beautiful portrait that was our life, even though we're hung up on getting the bed made or whatever it is, you know, getting that load of laundry out of the dryer or out of the washer so we don't have to wash it again later because we left it in there too long. Anybody hear me on that? Yeah. I wear my clothes out washing them too many times. But the truth is, you know, God has said in his word, come to me and I will give you rest. Lay your burdens down. walk with me and I will pick those burdens up. I will carry those things. You know, slow down. Look up. Linger here with me. That's what God's saying to us. And sometimes we might even hear that in the split second of the chaos of our lives. And we're like, you know, wait, was that you, God? Did you tell me to linger? Now, what does that mean? And before he can answer, the phone rings. And somehow we think that we have to immediately stop what we're doing and answer this phone. This like dictates our entire lives. And it blows me away. Remember when it hung on the wall? And if you were in the bathroom, it just rang. If you weren't home, it just rang. Didn't alter the course of your day. You didn't know it was ringing. If somebody really wanted you, they call back later, see if you're home. Or later on, we got these answering machines. Well, they leave you a message and hope you call them back later. You know, it was just a moment of our time. It wasn't all consuming. You know, literally, I used to be guilty of this, but I'm doing better. I used to be guilty of like setting my phone in the floor right outside the shower. So if it rang while I was in the shower, you know, I could peek out and see if it was something important. If somebody I know, do I need to stop taking my shower to answer this phone call? Well, even if it's somebody I know, it can probably wait till I'm dry. You know what I'm saying? And finally, one day I thought, this is stupid. I'm going to lay it on the counter and silence it if I have to. And I'm going to enjoy my few minutes taking a bath or my few minutes taking a shower. And when I get all done with that and get my pajamas on, I'll look at my phone. And if someone called, I can call them back then. It doesn't have to be that second. But we allow Satan to steal so many God moments because the phone rang. And it's mostly the phone today. Let's get real. We don't have a lot of people stopping by our house like we used to because they can give us a text. You know, and the whole reason we have text is so we can get to it when we get to it. You know, we can see it and get to it when we get to it. But we think we got to break our necks to answer the text right that second. You know, do we break our necks to answer God right that second? Are we that worried about hearing the voice of God and stopping everything to say, God, what is it you're trying to say to me? Oh, you want me to do X, Y, Z? Okay, God, I'm on it now. And not allowing anything to come between us and what God wants us to do that day. I'm not there, but that's what God's been dealing with me about. And I think if we want to see our lives go to the next level, we got to surrender our stuff. We think about, you know, surrendering our will, surrendering, you know, asking God to deliver us from bondage and brokenness and emotional healing because all that stuff is in the way of what God wants to do. And he wants to do those things. Those things are so important. But even beyond that, he wants our stuff because the most important thing to him is our relationship with him. How are we growing? Are we growing closer to him? Are we his friend? You know, is God your buddy? Is he able to prick your heart at a second's notice and know that you're going to obey? Or does he know he's got to start 5 days before he needs you to squeeze in every little bit of information he needs to get you before this appointment he has set up for you for 5 days, and then just hope that you're paying enough attention that you will actually do what he needs you to do in that moment? You know, I don't want to be that person. I want to be ready. The word says to be instant in season and out of season. And part of that is not letting your stuff get in the way. And I know there are some people out there that are hearing me and saying, oh, Renee, that sounds so good. But what exactly do I take off my plate? you know, we're all spinning these plates.
Good luck.
So which plate can I put down? Because I've got to do this job. I got four kids. I'm trying to be active in my church. I've got a husband. I've got a house. I've got parents. You know, I'm describing my whole life right here, even though my four kids are grown and out of the house. Don't think, ladies, when you get empty nest, that you don't have to deal with your kids anymore. That's what I thought. That last one got married. I thought, yes, praise God, I'm off the hook. Yeah, it's a different level. I can tell you right now, I have loved every part of being a mom except that young adult stage. You know, my kids were little, I used to say, I've loved every stage except potty training. I just never want to potty train another kid. Well, now give me potty training any day over that young adult stage when they think they know it all and they're out there doing whatever. But the truth is, you know, God wants that too. And I've come to this conclusion. I hope this releases somebody today. The only person that I can guarantee gets into heaven is Renee Kilhoffer. And so that has to be my focus, is my relationship with the Lord, obedient to what he tells me to do. I pray for my children. Yes, I do. But you know what? I believe God is big enough to do in their life whatever he needs to do, and he doesn't need my input on how to do that. And me stressing over it doesn't make God do it any faster. He's got a plan. And ultimately, it's up to them whether or not they're going to spend eternity with Christ. But God loves them more than I do. And so my youngest is 31. And I have just in the last year learned to let God have her. And I feel like God told me, she had been through a lot of stuff, including an abusive marriage, and just came out of that. And I was doing what moms do, you know, took her in, taking care of everything, trying to keep her on a schedule and a routine to keep her mind off of her struggles and keep her focused on something positive, you know, and these are not bad things, but I felt like God told me, leave her alone. Let me handle it. Your job is to love her. I'm healing her. I'm the healer, not you. And that just released my spirit so much, released my emotions, released my anxiety, because she still makes decisions that, you know, I wouldn't make and that I'd like to spank her over, but she's 31, so that's not going to happen. But I keep going back to that voice. I'm the healer. I'm healing her. And I'm like, God, I know you're doing something. And I know you're working in her life. And I can tell you what's so cool is that my relationship with her has just gone through the roof. Because now she feels like she can talk to me about anything. And I'm going to love her. And even if I disagree with her, I'm not going to condemn her or make her feel like it's a character flaw while she is growing and healing. The truth is, our children have to come to a point where they, and everyone does, but they have to come to a point where they own their own salvation. And so I think that's very important to remember, because a lot of the stuff they go through as young adults, that's what they're doing. They're transitioning from coming under mom and dad's faith to owning their own faith. And boy, when they get there, that is powerful. That is powerful. And so, moms, let them go. Put them in God's hands. He's the healer. He loves them more than you do. He cares about you, and he cares about them, and he's going to take care of it. And even if it looks bad, remind yourself of this. Joseph wasn't really dead. That's my favorite saying. Because, you know, his brother sold him into slavery, told their dad that he was killed by a wild animal. And for 13 years, Jacob, his dad, who's also known as Israel, was devastated. I mean, you look through scripture, and the man never came out of mourning. He grieved the loss of his son. I mean, Joseph was his favorite. And I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but Joseph was his heart, because Joseph was the firstborn of the wife that he truly loved. And she died in childbirth with their second child. So Joseph especially was precious to him because that was part of Rachel. And so when he thought he was dead, he never really got over it. But the truth is, his brother sold him into Egypt as a slave. Well, that sounds terrible. But what did God do with that? While he was a slave, God taught him how to govern people. While he was in prison, he gave him favor. He became the head prisoner. I mean, he was in prison, but he was free to roam around the prison and serve the other prisoners and make sure their needs were met. The guards trusted him. And it was in those two positions, as the head slave and as the head prisoner, I guess you might call it, that he learned to govern people and to serve people. And then when the time was right, God raised him up and made him the governor of all of Egypt. That was the second most powerful man in the entire world at that time. And then his dad finds out he's not dead. So all that time that he's mourning and grieving, it wasn't as bad as he thought, because Joseph wasn't really dead. So if you have kids today and you're worried about it, remember, Joseph wasn't really dead. And here's the truth on Jacob's side. If God had revealed to Jacob that Joseph was in prison and that Joseph was a slave, see, Jacob was a man of means. He could have gone over there to Egypt and rescued his precious son. But he would have messed up God's plan, because Joseph wouldn't have been able to get the education that he needed for the next position. And so sometimes we as parents, we fly in, you know, helicopter parents, and we think we know because we have all this life experience. We know what you're doing is wrong, and you need to do it my way, because this is how you're going to be successful in life and successful as a Christian. And God's saying, leave them alone. I have a different plan. I need to teach them X, Y, Z, and you're going to mess it up. So let God have them. Because I'll tell you what, whatever God's doing in their life, it's going to be so much more beautiful than anything that we could do as a parent. And if we'll just trust God with it, we're released from that. So... sorry, do we have some prayer requests we need to pray about?
It's now a good time, sister.
That's a good time. Okay. Anytime's a good time to pray.
Amen.